This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Niners, they just have not played consistent enough football. They have not played good enough football to make you think right now that they can go and turn it around. Now, again, maybe the switch will go on. This defense this year has been different. They haven't gotten the pressure that they've needed. They haven't gotten the turnovers that they've needed. They haven't come through with the big plays that they've needed. And when you introduce all the other injuries that have come along, you're missing George Kittle 1 week, you're missing Brandon Ayuk all year, Christian McCaffrey's not back till later, Brock Purdy's out yesterday. Now, again, they've got six or so games to turn it around. We'll see if they can do it.
Adam Schefter on the Niners. Last time the Niners were in Buffalo, one of the first games I can remember going to was against the Niners.
There's a
when
game,
I was like 11.
Was
I think.
It like 12?
It was
10?
It was
a horrible game.
Oh no, I don't know if it was 12-10. I remember sitting in the rain watching the Bills get smoked by a Niners team. I think smoked, and I think Lossman and Edwards played in the game.
Yeah,
both of them. Maybe Edwards started and got hurt, and Lossman came in. If they'll find that game. One of the worst Bills games I've ever been to. 2007 maybe is in my head.
I'm usually pretty good with this stuff. The Niners being here, the last time the Niners would have been here. Okay, never mind, I know.
The game I'm thinking of
now
is, you were right on the money with the one I remember. I was thinking of a different game when the Niners beat the Bills in San Francisco 45-3. The game I went to in the rain that was terrible was the Niners winning 10-3 over the Bills.
The last
who
time,
said once upon a time that the drought was more fun than the what's going on right now? Sean Hill started for the Niners.
The last time the Niners were here, Kaepernick would have been here.
Yes.
That's the one. That's the most recent.
2016.
No. That 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Okay.
They were one win that year.
Yeah.
Remember the final score?
No. I don't remember anything about that game.
Final score was 45-16.
Bills?
Bills.
Okay.
Want to give me anybody? Here's some trivia. Who scored a touchdown for the Bills? Who named the touchdown scorers in 2016, the last time the Bills played the Niners at home? They had 6 touchdowns. One player had 3.
I mean, you know, as far as the drought goes, okay, so this is right before McDermott gets the job, 2016.
Yeah, this is Rex's last year. The Bills improved to 4-2.
The touchdowns are McCoy.
He had 3.
Okay.
From 4 yards out, 12 yards out, and 18 yards out.
Hold on. McCoy, and let's go with a... Who's a... Come on. I'm going to get it.
Bills, Niners. The Niners didn't... Wait, is it possible? They must have scored a touchdown. They didn't. How did they not score a touchdown? Field goal. Oh, there it is. Torrey Smith caught the only Niners touchdown. There is another rushing touchdown in here. And then there's 2 passing touchdowns.
Garrison Hurst. No.
Who is that? Oh, Niners?
Yeah. Oh, we got remember some Niners on Friday. Boy, I just remember nothing about this game. The 2016 Bills, a Rex team, won a game 45-16.
To go to 4-2. We were probably feeling great.
I guess so.
We must have been
feeling
great.
So would Tyrod have run one in?
Tyrod did not run one in. He threw 2, but you got to tell me who caught those.
Sammy Watkins.
Nope. Sammy Watkins was not in this game. Or at least he didn't have a target. So I'm assuming he was not in this game. 1, 2, 3 Bills receiver. Look at the names. Look at the names catching passes in this game on the Bills.
Scott,
what a life this was.
Scott Chandler.
No.
Receivers. Brandon Tate. No.
No. That's the next year, I think.
Okay.
Brandon Tate. No, that's a terrible guess.
Wasn't he on the team?
He was, but he was like a special teamer, and he's not even the right year, which is fine.
Hold on,
like,
hold on.
You're in the right era.
You said the names on this team, so I went to a guy that they once said, true story. This is why I like...
Okay, that's fair, yeah.
Hold on. This is why whenever the Bills say they feel good about someone, you don't have to think they mean it. Tyrod Taylor stood in front of a camera and said, feel really good about our deep weapons. We got Brandon Tate and someone else.
Like Deontay Thompson
or
something.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the guys that caught a touchdown pass is like a good name, and then the other one is more of a tougher name to get.
All right. Robert Woods.
Yep. He caught a touchdown.
Who else did
that
Tyrod
made it 38-16?
Who did Tyrod throw passes to?
I believe the other guy that caught a pass in this game, caught a touchdown, finished that season with 4 touchdown receptions and only 10 total catches. So he had 10 catches that year.
Robert
4 went
Royal.
For touchdowns. No. It's probably missed by like 7 years.
I mean, seriously, the drought, it gets tough. At pass catcher, it gets tough.
He was a high pick of the Titans. He finished his career with the Steelers. I mean, this is not much of a career, but he played 1 year for the Bills. I would say he was known for being a red zone weapon. He was a wide receiver.
A wide receiver, red zone weapon.
That wore number 17.
Drafted by the Titans?
Drafted by the Titans.
Wide receiver.
Yep. Wore number 17 for the Bills.
What round was he drafted?
Second.
Man.
Is it possible you don't know this name?
I
can't believe it.
Bishop Sankey. No.
No.
He was a running back. Who on earth is this?
Justin Hunter.
No. Not in a million
Justin
years.
Hunter? He's a folk hero. He was a great red zone jump ball guy. Right? That's probably what this touchdown was. And then you're missing a rushing touchdown. 44-yard rushing touchdown that made it 45-16.
Carlos Williams.
Game. Nope.
That's a good guess.
Although I looked up the other day, me and Mike were texting about this. Carlos Williams has the second most touchdowns per game in Bills history. He had 9 touchdowns in 11 games and then never played in the NFL again.
Who's got the most?
Cookie Gilchrist.
Mike Gillisley.
Yep. Mike Gillisley, 44-yard touchdown run.
All right.
And you don't remember any of these plays?
No. I don't remember anything about the game other than Kaepernick was here, and that meant it was ugly.
Other players that had the ball in this game, Jonathan Williams, Reggie Bush, went 2 carries for 6 yards, probably his best game as a Bill. Charles Clay led the Bills in receiving. Nick O'Leary, Jerome Felton.
Yeah.
Was that fullback? Must be.
8:30 had that little mini rant for you about like the Chiefs have to lose because it's poisoning everything we say about the NFL. I've got another example of that, and it is the Niners. The Niners. So Kyle Shanahan shows up for the Niners, gets the job. He starts 6-10. He takes over a team that is 2-14.
Okay. Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly.
I think Chip Kelly was the coach right before.
They go 6-10. They go 4-12. They go to the Super Bowl. That's Kyle Shanahan. The next year they go 6-10. That's probably another quarterback injury year. The next year they go to the NFC Championship, and then the NFC Championship, and then the Super Bowl again. While Mahomes has never ended a season before the AFC Championship game, the Niners have been in 4 of 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're 5-5 this year, and you'll get a little bit of like, oh boy, I wonder what's going on there with Kyle Shanahan. Oh, I'm sorry, 4 out of 5 NFC Championship games? He's not doing a good enough job? Like, this would be a franchise that they would have had, what, double-digit leads in 2 Super Bowls against the Chiefs?
Yep.
Everybody just blowing everything to the Chiefs.
Well, the other thing is
negative for our existence.
You said the Chiefs' seasons are never over before the AFC Championship game. 4 times now, it's been 3. The Niners' season is over by Thanksgiving. That never happens to the Chiefs. The Chiefs also don't have the quarterback in it.
Right,
yeah, I understand that.
I think there's a pretty big difference.
But just like it is interesting to look at, like, since Kyle Shanahan was the head coach, he has fewer wins than the Cowboys, the Seahawks, the Vikings, the Rams. He's the same amount as New England.
I might want to strike the first 2 seasons, though.
Why?
He takes over a 2-14 team and gets them to the Super Bowl in 3 years.
Okay. But he won 10 games before that. What were those years? Everyone was just injured. Part of this is he chose Garoppolo. He had a quarterback that was injury prone, that wasn't that good the whole time, and he kept going with him and kept going with him and stuck by him.
They drafted a guy to try and replace him.
Eventually, yeah, they did. They got to that.
Rob in Connecticut. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy. Good morning, Joe. And first off, I'd like to wish you guys a very happy Thanksgiving to you and your family and everybody at WGR 550. Also, I was going to say that to Josh as well before he turned me over. But, Jeremy, I was listening to you about the Kansas City Chiefs. I totally agree with you about that. I can't stand them anymore. It's time to move over. You know, all good things come to an end, and great things are worth the wait. And Buffalo's leaving no doubts. The Bills are leaving no doubts, and I believe this is our time to shine in the playoffs. Kansas City is done. After what I've witnessed in this past year, it's all luck as far as the way they've squeaked by. You know, the Denver game, and especially this past week, I'm not surprised that Kansas City is playing the way they are, and they're not going to do anything. The only thing that scares me is the Ravens. The Ravens are tough. But I think it's our time to shine, definitely. Once again, guys, thanks very much, and enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Is it all luck? Some of it's luck.
No, definitely not all luck. Definitely no. But it is adjacent. I mean, if some team gets bad luck, that means another team gets good luck. And, you know, in a sport where if I'm playing you and I have bad luck and you have no luck, you won. Right? Like,
yep.
You just had a regular game and I lost 7 linebackers the week before. That's good luck for you, even though you didn't really even do anything. So, I don't know. I'm not here to take anything away from the Chiefs. I just, from a storyline standpoint, from an arc, I got this way on Brady. You know, the Patriots would win again, or Brady would win again. And like, can you believe the Brady magic? It's like, yes, of course I can. Who could act like this is exciting anymore?
Mm-hmm.
This is the most boring potential outcome. Is right. Him again. Oh, great. It's going to be Brady winning a game 13-3 against the Rams in the Super Bowl, and we have to act like the only possible outcome is that. Maybe that's just football, you know? Like, you know the Bills could have won a Super Bowl any one of these years. You know the Niners could have won one or two Super Bowls by now, but it's just Kansas City and Brady in the last 5 years, which is terrible. And the Rams. The Rams really snuck in there and got one.
They did. They got in there. They didn't have to play the Chiefs. Also, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is weird that there was a Rams-Bengals Super Bowl. that whittled its way in there. Because otherwise it's been the same quarterbacks, basically.
Yeah.
Same teams. It's been the Niners. I mean, wouldn't the most... So by that logic, wouldn't the most interesting thing for the league be that the Chiefs get upset in the wildcard round?
Maybe not that round, but yes. I think it would be... If the league could pick its Super Bowl, pick any scenario, any matchup you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might want to say market size, whatever. For interest. Let's just do interest.
Yep.
The most interesting Super Bowl is?
The most interesting Super Bowl would be... I even try to think this would be unbiased, but wouldn't Bills-Lions be the most interesting Super Bowl? Maybe Ravens-Lions would be. One of those two.
I was trying to think
Give me Lamar or Josh Allen, two of the superhero freak quarterbacks in a Super Bowl, neither of which has been yet. Let me give you the storylines about them leading in, like Lamar or Allen being in the Super Bowl. And then I think Detroit is probably the best NFC team for this.
I don't know who the other nominees would be.
Because we've already seen the Eagles there, right? Like we've seen the Niners there.
Are we at how
the
many
Packers maybe?
How many NFC teams do you think can do it?
Ooh, I think the Lions definitely. Aaron Schatz yesterday on Bush Open, the Bulldog, DVOA, they've got the Lions. This has never happened. Like, this is the highest number ever. They are 39% to win the Super Bowl by their model. That is a nuts number. The Lions can do it. The Eagles can do it.
That it?
The Packers can do it. Might be done. I don't think Minnesota can do it.
Okay.
Minnesota's got the record, but... Darnold's cooling off. They're not getting the ball to Jefferson, which should be easy.
They've won 4 in a row.
Yeah, but what are those wins? Didn't they win a game like 12-6?
They are 5-0 against the AFC.
Okay. Well, they got to get through the NFC to get to the Super Bowl.
True.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to say it about Minnesota. Darnold still holds me back a little bit, even though he's been better this year than you'd expect. So I might only name three teams for this.
So
Packers, Eagles, Lions.
Most interesting. I mean, I guess if you put the Chiefs there against the Lions, anyone wanting to make the point, you hate the Chiefs. You would be very invested. I would have to say, yes, that's correct. If the Chiefs are there, I'm very interested because I'm rooting against them like my life depends on it. But I just think them getting through the AFC again is a net negative. Just bad for all of it. Oh, what's the story next year? Can Lamar get through? Can Josh Allen get through? Can Joe Burrow? And I'm just asleep again.
Yeah. Right. It's the same. Really, it makes it less interesting for the next season.
Yeah, we're like in this endless loop. Nobody got fired this week. I guess it's not that surprising.
The Doug Peterson still being the coach is stunning,
weird,
right?
That's kind of weird.
He said there was a report that he thought he knew that he was getting fired after the Lions game, and then they lost by 40.
Yeah.
And he didn't get fired. So that's a little weird. And now they're saying Lawrence might play this week.
Maybe you just wait till after Thanksgiving to fire somebody?
Maybe.
Like if the Giants had a full week of prep, would they have fired Brian Daboll? Maybe.
That's another one. There was a report about that yesterday that he like lost the locker room or something.
He's got Malik Nabers calling the team soft.
Yep. So and also you've got the owner twice this season giving him a vote of confidence, which like it might mean nothing. It might mean something. It might mean they'll go forward. Sometimes coaches do last longer than you think they do. I can't believe Matt Eberflus is still the coach of the Chicago Bears. Him being fired would have been an idea, wouldn't it?
Feels like that's an end of season.
Yeah. Well, I saw this point about Belichick that there might be a lot of coach openings after the season, and that Belichick, although there's a lot of tying him to Jacksonville, I guess, because maybe he can get more power there. But I think you're gonna have the Chicago job open. You're gonna have the Jacksonville job open. You're gonna have the Jets job open. Did I say Jacksonville already? So, 5, 6, 7 teams. Maybe Stefanski goes in Cleveland. Depending on how their season ends, the Raiders maybe could be one and done on that. So, there's probably a good chance there's going to be a lot of openings after the year.
I wonder about the Browns. The Browns have an interesting game every week the rest of the year.
Because of who their opponent is?
Yeah. You know who they play this week? Denver. Interesting.
Okay, yeah.
Then Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Kansas City.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Miami.
Yeah.
And then Baltimore.
Okay, yeah. No, every one of those games is going to be worth watching, I feel like.
Right. And listen, you play one game. People talk about you playing spoiler. The Browns could play spoiler
to everybody.
Six times.
They could be just the all-time spoiler team.
They're just in here, Jameis Winston in here to wreck teams.
Aren't they kind of built for it, too, right now? Their defense is still good, isn't it?
It's okay. And Jameis, I mean.
And Jameis is fun. You don't know what version of Jameis you're going to get.
He's definitely better than Watson, and it's made them competitive. Did you see Jameis Winston's mic'd up?
Yeah.
It is incredible.
Is he a character at this point? Like, is he doing it on purpose?
Maybe.
Or is this how he actually, like, he is every week, something's going viral with him.
Well, you've got, I forget which teammate it was, but one former teammate said about Winston, the thing about him that separates him from everybody else is when he's in the huddle calling the plays.
Yeah.
He calls it like he's delivering a surprise. Every play call, he's delivering it like it's a surprise.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, I don't know what that exactly sounds like, but that sounds funny.
Yeah.
Anyway. We also, by the way, speaking of that Browns game, so we learned something we had a stadium tour yesterday. The three of us went through. The Bills hosted us to walk through and take a look at the new Highmark. We asked some questions about the ground and how it works to heat the ground and what technology they'll have. And without getting into the technology they have, something that they have in Cleveland that you may have picked up on, I don't know, probably not. I did not. The field in Cleveland is heated. So,
right.
Snow that falls on it should melt, right? And then drain away. However, the snow was so flaky and light that it fell on the blades of grass and stayed above the soil and didn't melt until a player stepped on the snow to push it into the ground, and then it would melt.
Right, right.
That's how specific these field systems get. That the Bills were having a conversation with their people that are going to do the new field. By the way, also, fun fact, the turf that's going to go in the new Bills stadium is currently...
The grass?
Yeah, the grass. It's being grown currently in New Jersey.
It's already growing.
They started it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, road trip. Go say hi to the grass. But anyway, like, it was just another example of all the stuff that goes into these stadiums, this massive operation, and the Browns stadium, the current one, has that. Heated field, but you can only melt the snow if it's all the way on the...
Because if the snow is light enough that it's resting on the top of the blades of grass, then there's no... You can't get the heat up there, I guess.
File it under things I learned.
Yeah.
So anyway, the new Bills Stadium...
So much that goes into all the stadiums. Like, you can't believe... You can't comprehend it. I still can't comprehend it.
And the Bills Stadium, like, one of the steps along the way is the grass is going to be put in and then be... first off, it's going to grow for a while, and then they're going to bring it in, and after they clear off and put the stuff underneath it, that's another step along the way. Have a big, giant, I want to call it a pitch, field. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
There aren't five quarterbacks more important to their football team in our league than Tua, and we're seeing that. And anybody who ever wants to argue about it with me, don't ever do it again. They're right back in the playoff race right now. They're the 8th seed. Dude, when this team has Tua and Mike McDaniel together, they're 23-14. They score 27 points a game. They have 380 yards of offensive game. He is one of the five most important quarterbacks in our league to their team.
Okay. Dan Orlovsky.
Well, sure.
One of the five most important teams.
Please list
the
only four that are above him.
Right.
Like, that's the exercise. Is he more important to the Dolphins than Josh Allen is to the Bills?
No.
Okay. Mahomes?
No.
Burrow?
No.
One more. I got one more. How about
Lamar?
Lamar?
No.
Okay. So then every other quarterback in the NFL, too, is more important to the Dolphins than he is. Which, you know, I get it. The offense is built for him. I don't think it's that bad. It's just...
It's very built for him.
Yes.
The one thing they might have a chance with, I just saw this about Thursday's matchup, because this is like, all right, right there, like, my eye roll on that is, here we go again with their... we're giving him the crown when they've beaten just bad teams again. They play Green Bay this week. This would be the game. On the road, cold weather, right? The one thing Green Bay I saw is bad at, the Dolphins, of like, Tua, no surprise, he's the quickest to throw in the league again, as he was last year, quickest time to throw in the league. The Packers are dead last in the NFL in yards per play allowed on quick passes. They're really bad at it. So, we'll see. Maybe this is a good matchup for them. I'll believe they can beat a good team on the road when they beat a good team on the road. Because otherwise, okay, they squeak into the playoffs. What are they going to have to do? Beat a good team on the road.
Well, we'll see that on Thanksgiving night. Another, like, unstoppable force meets immovable object. Will the Cowboys find a way to be trailing by 20 at any point on Thanksgiving day?
Oh, that streak is still going?
Right?
Oh, well, they play the Giants, though, don't they?
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know. Might want to bet on that streak ending this Sunday.
The spreads for Sunday... It's Bears 10.5.
Ooh.
Getting
at home?
10.5. No, sorry. No, Detroit.
Detroit's home. Yeah. Right. Obviously.
The Bears are getting 10.5.
Okay.
The Giants are getting 3.5, and the Dolphins are getting 3.5.
Okay. I might want to be on the Green Bay side of that more than anything this weekend. That's easily the best game, though. Like, that Giants Cowboys game, what is there to watch for? Who's going to be more likely to pick higher, basically?
The Giants haven't picked first in 60 years, and they are on track.
Like, yeah. It's Jacksonville, the Giants, and the Raiders right now.
Meanwhile, I saw Troy Aikman mention this last night on the broadcast about there was just a awful announcing article about this too. Albert Breer tweeted something that no team will ever do Hard Knocks offseason again. Aikman made a reference to Giants owner John Mara, who said on Hard Knocks offseason, I won't be able to sleep if Barkley, if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. And then what was the line Aikman said? Something about, I guess John Mara's not sleeping, didn't sleep much last night. Just a lot of he's getting embarrassed. They're getting embarrassed. Why haven't they made changes yet? And are they going to do it? He's given them a vote of confidence twice, but the owner did Hard Knocks, and everybody's referencing it. Everybody's showing the video every time Barkley goes for 300 yards, and that like they're going to make changes at the end of the year because they're getting dragged. But what are they? My problem with that is what they're getting dragged for is so stupid. Like Barkley wasn't going to do anything.
Right,
for them
they would
this
not
year.
Be any better. They might be marginally better.
But I could understand why the owner is not happy that he in that clip he said he's our most popular player by far about Barkley, and he is now on a division rival and is on track to maybe break the rushing record.
Meanwhile, elsewhere in the NFL, we have a big story.
What's that?
It's a ping pong table story.
And this qualifies as a big story?
Yeah, you know, you never know.
We've done our ping pong stories here, haven't we?
First off, you guys can each get a guess. Which team is either getting rid of or getting ping pong tables and why?
Ooh, okay.
You know, this is how this works. A coach needs to shake something up. Time for those ping pong tables. Get them out of here.
Before that, can I? Someone help me. Remember, which Bills coach took the ping pong table out of the room? Was it Marone?
Maybe.
I think it was Marone.
Sure.
I think Marone showed up, and the first thing he did was he took the ping pong table out of the locker room.
What a great coach.
Who needs a shake up?
Which team needs ping pong tables in or ping? We should do this every week, the ping pong rankings.
I'll
tell you who looks like they need ping pong tables right now.
I love that. The Commanders.
Are getting them in or out?
Are taking it out. They're taking the ping pong table out.
It is incorrect. It is not the Commanders.
Mm.
The answer is the Bengals.
Taking it out?
Going in.
Going in?
Yes. The Bengals returned from their bye week. Ping pong tables that have been a fixture in past years had been removed during renovations. They're back for the final weeks of the regular season. Zach Taylor says the decision was made to foster a high level of interaction among the players over the next month.
Listen to the explanation for why we were we've got to make everything mean something. We've got to make every little thing mean something at all times.
The quote gets better. This is peak football. Quote Taylor from the team's website. I'm not overthinking it too much, but here's a way to create some energy and get guys up and active. It's December football now, and we need everyone to be at their best. Need everyone to have energy when they walk in the building. That creates some competitiveness. That's about all there is to it. So Zach Taylor is saying, I got the ping pong tables in because it's December football, baby. It's kind of funny.
The need for coaches to tell you everything is about competitive will is just unbelievable.
It's not even just that. It goes to a bigger point in the league, which, again, like I don't think this is unusual. It just doesn't really set many teams apart. Evan McPherson said over the past 3 years, the Bengals have been really a close-knit group, and that ping pong has played a role in that because players spend time with teammates they might not otherwise do. Defensive end Joseph Asai, it means a lot on that field when you know a guy personally. That's like a culture.
That's a better job than what I heard Zach Taylor describe.
Right. It's a culture thing for sure. The thing I like to point out a lot is that a lot of teams want that. You know, how good are you at getting it and you win games?
But it's funny, this is after Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase had, didn't they have an interesting comment about Evan McPherson after the last game?
Ooh.
He missed a couple kicks and something along the lines of, like, he knows what he's paid to do. Chase maybe was the one who made a more interesting comment, but I don't think Burrow necessarily defended him either. Like, basically, like, he knows he's got to make... It was stronger, though, I think, than he knows he's got to make those kicks.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Chase said something. Chase is always mad.
Yeah, he really is.
I mean, he's always mad.
Is it just the season because of the contract thing, though, we think?
I don't know. I don't say that as even a bad way. Like, that dude is just whatever. If you want to say, like, we knew that for, Diggs was only at one speed. It feels like Chase is always ready to fight. He's always keyed up.
Yeah. I guess it was along the lines of, he said he knows he's got to make those kicks. That's why we pay him those bucks, was his exact quote. He has been angry all year. He tried to fight someone in the Chief game, right? Because the ref called a penalty that was very obviously like not or was a penalty or something. Whatever happened there.
Moana 2 tomorrow. Let's go.
Tomorrow? You're going? Opening night?
I don't know if we're going tomorrow, but we're going to go. Definitely.
By the way, thumbs up on the early morning movie experience.
Yeah?
I did that on Saturday. Although, I don't know, they're allowed to do this. It's like an air flight that was delayed. Like, we got tickets for a 10:15 show.
Yeah.
And then we got there, and they had moved the time back to 10:50. And that's not, I'm not even going to joke about the previews. Like, the previews started at 10:50. So suddenly,
your movie got delayed?
The movie got delayed. I don't know, was that because they just didn't sell enough tickets to a 10:15 show? Did someone realize, why do we have a show starting at 10:15? And they backed it up 35 minutes? I don't know why, but our show got delayed. We have proof. We have the 10:15 time was on the app, and then when we got there on the little sign, it's a 10:50.
Wow.
Interesting. So movies can be delayed, apparently.
I guess so. Extendo Sports coming up to wrap the show, and then we're off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, wrapping things up for us.
UB finishes their season tonight. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff, by the way. Google was saying it was 8 o'clock, but that's wrong.
Kent State, who is 0-11.
Yes. And then the college football playoff rankings come out tonight.
Listen, 8-4 for UB.
Yeah.
To get this win. Not bad. Latest projections. I've seen a couple different spots for UB to go to a bowl game. Syracuse-Miami is a good game this weekend, too.
That is a very good game.
But
yeah.
UB, I've got them in the Idaho Potato Bowl.
Okay. They've been there before.
They've been there, I think, at least twice against San Jose State.
I'm like a change-up then.
They've been there just once against San Diego State. Okay. That was Khalil Mack's senior year.
They've also been to the first bowl game I remember was the International Bowl, which I don't think that exists anymore.
Yeah.
I don't remember if there was another one. Get them in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. How do I get there? I don't know. if they have the conferences already figured out, though.
They did go to the Bahamas Bowl somewhat recently, too.
Oh, right. Okay. Which is always the first bowl game, I think. Although the playoff might change that now.
I mean, if I'm UB, that Hawaii Bowl looks pretty good.
Yeah. Elliot Freeman's reporting that Chris Kreider might be available for trade. Interested?
No.
33, 2 years left at $6.5 million. He has 9 goals in 19 games. He had 39 goals last year. He's a good player. This is where I tell you he has a 15 no trade note.
That's why I'm not interested. It's because I don't want him to tell me no. I want to say no ahead of time. I don't want that anyway. No thanks. Yeah, 15 team no trade. Although if the Sabres are in a playoff spot, would people be willing to waive that? Like,
only one way to find out.
Hypothetically, call them. I've got a 10-team no trade. Buffalo's on it. The Sabres are in the third spot in the Atlantic. They want you to jump on board to help them get there. All right, I'm in a playoff race. Isn't that different than they're 7 points out? They're hoping you can help them. You could be in. Maybe an expiring contract player would say, "Sure, give me some juice to get into a postseason race," and maybe go to the Stanley Cup playoffs and play for my next deal.
I'd bet you have more luck with that if you're in a spot closer to the deadline.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, right. Because right now, convincing someone, guys, we're going to be in it all year, you might get players that kind of roll their eyes like, okay, sure you are.
Yeah, I'm saying on deadline day, they're in third.
Okay, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
Might work. Stranger things have happened. Sabres in Minnesota tomorrow. Black and red on Friday.
Name some wild.
Remember some wild players.
Gabrick.
Yeah. Jason Pominville.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you could just name 10 former Sabres. These two teams Matt have made Molson. A billion trades with each other over the years.
Who's the goalie?
Johan Larson.
Matt Hackett.
Matt Hackett. He played the tank game. My voice goes up when we talk about the tank game.
Was that the Arizona game?
Yeah.
He played in that game?
He was that goaltender.
Spot in history.
Yeah. Right.
Well.
Waiver Wednesday tomorrow in Guillotine. You're at a point in your Guillotine leagues, if you're in them, where like it's all star teams.
Yeah, your teams are stacked.
Yeah. There'll be great players available on the waiver market. They won't get claimed, won't get picked up.
And then a regular week, Bills media tomorrow, right back to it, you know, ask everybody what they did in the bye week.
Milano, Coleman, Kincaid, Spencer Brown.
Yeah.
Those are the four.
I'm expecting Milano to play.
This week?
Yes. I don't have that on info,
yeah.
But they opened up his three-week window, and they did it in a week where there was a bye.
Right.
To me, if you had doubts about him, you would have just pushed that.
Right.
Would you not?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Like, we're going to use the roster spot on him, designate him to return, have him come back. Maybe we'll talk about it with Sal tomorrow, but I'm expecting Milano, the news tomorrow to be that Milano's back. Just seems to me the math of that works that way, but I could be wrong. So anyway, that'd be exciting news. Spencer Brown, who else? Keon Coleman's got to be getting close.
Coleman and Kincaid.
Yeah. All right.
Defensively, I think the only other one is Dewan Smoot, but I think he's got a few more weeks.
Yep. All right, that's it for us. Cheers. Enjoy your Tuesday. Back tomorrow here on WGR.